On Wednesday evenings, we've been taking a look at, we've wrapped up about the judgments and the judgment seat of Christ for the children of God. And so we're taking a look here about our lives and how it is in our lives, what the Lord expects of His children in our lives, and this range of thought that exists about, you know, do we live this life only in our strength and only in our ability by sheer will, grit, and determination? Or is every single little thing ordained by God and everything's just mapped out and it is what it is? Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. There are those that believe that. We've been going taking a look at the scriptures, and the thing is, we have admonition from our Lord here. Somewhere in the middle is where this thing is. Not really worried about establishing about any position other than the position that the scriptures bring forth to us, the challenge that is at hand, because we are going to have a judgment before our Lord, and we are responsible as children before our Lord, and we have all these scriptures that speak to us about our responsibility and the way that we should go and what we should pursue and do and avail ourselves unto. And so that's what we're in search of, is how is it to be? We've been given this great blessing of prayer. We can go to our Lord, who is the God of impossibilities. And we have this in the scripture, where the scripture tells us that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. That's what the apostle said. And so we can do all things. The Lord Jesus was asked by the disciples, well, who can be saved? Well, with men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus told the man, I believe it was the man that had the little girl, the child that was ill. He said to that man, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And not to believe in self, not believe in what we can accomplish and do, but to believe in the Lord and to trust in the Lord's power, the Lord's strength, and the Lord's ability. We've come here to this chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, and we've arrived here and looking at this about our relationship between the Lord before we were saved. Okay, we're aliens, we're separated from the Lord, but as someone that is saved, we're made children by the Lord, we're adopted by the Lord, and so we're not here condemned under our sins with the threat of hell and the lake of fire upon us because of our sins. That's the way it is for the unrepentant and the unbelieving. But the sinner that has been saved by the Lord, has heard the gospel of the Lord, seen their condition, seen the Lord, believed His word and His truth, that miracle of the Lord that He works, our relationship is different. And we saw this in the book of Romans, how it is that it says that there's sins that are past, a remission, a payment for sins past. But we come here to this chapter in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse number 18, where it says, now where remission of these is, what are the these? Well, verse number 17, the Lord says, as He said in the Old Testament regarding Israel and regarding His children, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Okay, that's what He's going to do in salvation. He's going to give a new heart. That's the covenant, the new covenant, the New Testament, okay? And now we're remission, payment, that's what the word remission means, of these sins and iniquities, is there is no more offering for sin. So what's going on there? What's the scripture saying to us? See, those sins that we committed from the time that we were born, from the time that we hit the air, disobeying God, being found even as babies, just born liars. And then as we grew up and even in ignorance, or then in time as we became conscious of ourselves and our surroundings and what we could do and how we could work our children, our parents before we could even talk. We're sinning against God, sinning against God. And then we come of age and full, I would say, accountability before God. And there's no date, no age to pin on that. It happens with each and every one of us. Then here we are, and then we go and we sin. We do things we know are wrong. We sin against God. We sin against our parents. We sin against society. We sin against the law of the land. We sin against God's word. And maybe we do it in ignorance. Maybe we do it with knowledge. In time, we do it with a lot of knowledge, I believe. And then we're here, and then the Lord brings his word into us, brings about our need of Christ, brings about the coming damnation because of our sin, and he convicts, and he causes us to see Jesus for who he is, ourselves for what we are, and he saves us. All those sins and iniquities, he will remember no more. They're gone. Now, we may have sown some wild oats, quote unquote. And young people, don't say and don't think that sowing wild oats is just your rite of passage, because sowing wild oats is good for no one. Do not sow wild oats. All that have sown wild oats, if they're in their right mind and right attitude and heart before the Lord, will testify it does no good to sow any wild oats. But you know what? We may have sown wild oats that we'll have to reap. That's the thing about living life. But you know what? As far as God, our sins, even the murderer, even those grave, serious, most serious things that we see in the law, the Lord forgives. And from him, we'll never hear about that again. But now here as children, what about our sin and our transgression going forward? Some would say, so, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. I just really don't have anything else I need to do or pursue. I'm rescued. I'm solid in Christ. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. The thing is that doesn't show a repentant heart. That doesn't show an obedient child's heart. Now, we just studied and we'll take a look about Brother David Sunday morning. Brother David, after being saved, called to be king, the Lord's choice to be king, murdered a man, committed adultery, tried to cover it up. I mean, lied, got a man drunk. I mean, he broke those last five commandments. Just boom, 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 boom. It was just, I mean, he just did it. Those last five of the 10, just in quick order. I mean, within a day, well, within a handful of days. So the children of God can fall, can't they? We can fall back into what we've been saved from. And the thing is, the Lord knows all about those. Oh, from the standpoint of eternity, we're covered under our Savior. His blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection for us. In regards to eternity, we're saved. We'll never be unsaved. Never lose it. It's eternal. But I tell you what, the Lord sure did chastise Brother David for his transgressions, didn't he? And he will us too. We saw Sunday morning, and if you haven't heard that message, you can do well when it gets on the archive to listen to it, how we read here in Hebrews chapter 12 that the Lord chastens his own, and all are partakers. So the relationship before salvation and the relationship after salvation is different. And we came to this here a couple weeks ago in verse number 18. Now, where remission of these is, Hebrews 10:18, there is no more offering for sin. What? Well, how can that be? Let's read on. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and that's the Holy of Holies in our day, the presence of the Lord, not that of the tabernacle or the temple, but into the presence of the Lord in prayer, in fellowship and worship of him, by a new and living way, not that of the Old Testament, not that of the tabernacle, not that of the temple, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That veil is there that speaks to the Jews about the way the tabernacle was. There was a holy place in the Holy of Holies, okay? And only the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies, and he only did it once a year, okay? Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, our Lord Jesus, is our veil, that access to the Holy of Holies. And having a high priest over the house of God, which is what the entire book has been talking about. I encourage you to read the book of Hebrews. It's a blessing. What's he say here? Four things. Let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. He's making these references, and of course the book is written to the Jews. He's making these references to these Old Testament things, okay, the sprinkling of blood. Well, we've been saved by the Lord. It's not an annual thing that has to be done over and over, but he died once for us, sacrificed himself once for us. He says, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance, having of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. No evil conscience, no conniving of sin and hiding things from God, but open before the Lord. Number two, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith in Christ without wavering, for the Lord's faithful. We had a whole series of messages about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He being so faithful, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Why, he didn't hedge. Why should we hedge? Lord, help us. Number three, and let us consider one another, our brothers and sisters of Christ. Our context is here in the church, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works, and not unto strife, not to provoke unto strife, not to provoke unto discord and animosity and jealousy, but to love and to good works, provoke unto that. Number four, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that's speaking to us in church context. So we know that this is coming to the children of God. It's evident. It's not talking about the world. It's not talking about the unsaved. It's talking about the children of God. Church context, okay? So we need to nail that down for what we're going to see. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They have a manner. There are those that have a manner. Maybe we've had times we have that manner. We don't need to follow after that manner. But exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Which day? Oh, the Lord's day, the coming of Christ. Okay, I think all of them fit there. Verse 26, for if we, who's the we? Children of God. Namely, for sure, children of God in his churches. Okay, so it's just down, it's down here in our zip code, in our lap, because that's the context. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, so we receive the knowledge of the truth, ignorance is not bliss. We've been told from the Lord, not from the pastor, not from one another, but from the Word of God, because see, remember how this book starts out. God, who at sundry times spoken to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's right there in the first of the beginning of the book, chapter 1, first few verses. Okay? If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, if we, that's you and me that are saved, sin, that's against our Lord and our Savior, willfully, that's because we know better, we've heard better, we know better, but we go ahead and do what we want. After we receive the knowledge of the truth from him by his word, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, verse 18, verse number 26, I didn't write them. It's the Lord that says this. It's his word. No more sacrifice for sin. Brother Jim, you mean I'm going to hell? I've lost my salvation? No. No, we're children. Once you're a child, you're always a child. It's going to tell us what's coming, okay? And I mentioned to you in past in dealing with this, getting into this chapter. This is our third session into this chapter, that there are many that try to take this chapter and stretch it over different situations, such scenarios, different kind of people. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's written to you and to me, the children of God, here in his churches. He says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Verse 27, what remains? But, here's what remains. No more sacrifice, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. All right, judgment by our Lord. Chastisement would be a fine synonym. And fiery indignation. You know what that's talking about? That fiery indignation is talking about the fiery zeal of God. That's when God takes and turns loose his holiness and his glory, and it shines in its power. You know what happens with sin and the sinful? They burn up. When the Lord came down on the mount, on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and the mountain together was all in a smoke, it tells us in this same book. You know what it was doing? It was burning away all the crud of sin and the effect on that mount, because the holiness of God does that. It does that. says, but a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, listen, which shall devour the adversaries. It will not devour us. Oh, whew. Oh man, that's good, Brother Jim. I tell you what, I'm glad it won't devour us, because at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be in a body like Christ to be able to endure such refinement. We talked about that refinement last time. The presence of our Lord indeed at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe, will refine us. We read it in 1 Corinthians. Build with gold, silver, precious stones. The fire will try it in the day. That's what that scripture said. And the wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. And our works will be declared. And I'm talking about our good works, our treasure laid up in heaven will be declared. It'll be revealed by fire. That fire is not a furnace that God's going to heat up and run us through, but it's His very presence, His very zeal, I believe, is what we can see from this passage. So, a fearful looking for, indeed, even for the children of God. Not unto destruction, but unto refinement. Not unto a detriment, but to a gain. But nevertheless, understand, remember, children of God, there will be tears wiped from our eyes in that day. And I think that there will be that sense of loss to a point and to a time, and that where we have failed and not served our Lord well. We shall devour the adversaries. Listen, he gives a comparison. He speaks, the book is to the Hebrews, to the Jews. You and I can know about this in the scriptures, but he is their target. That is the target for the book, but you and I can learn much from it. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's just the way it was. They despised the law of Moses. What's that mean? The law said this, and they went and did something else. It was a capital offense. Two or three witnesses testified, yeah, I saw them do it. I heard them say it. They'd go out there, and those first two were the first ones to throw the stones, not of their own will, but at what was commanded of God. And God had a commandment on them, don't be a false witness. Okay, that's the ultimate of that commandment. Do not be a false witness unto the death of a person. That's like the pinnacle of lying. And so those two witnesses were to be the ones to cast the stones first, and then the congregation was to go ahead and do the rest, or the leadership and that. That's the way it went with Moses' law. Listen to what it says. Of how much sorer punishment. Brother Jim, how can it be worse than death? We're dealing with God here, and God's dealing with us. It would devour the adversaries, this fiery zeal of the Lord, this judgment of the Lord. But we'll be equipped to withstand it. You know what? If somehow in the heavenly, in that of the glory, in that of being a child of God, it will hurt. And I'm not talking about with your skin. I think it'll grieve us in our spirit and in our soul for the displeasure that we have brought to our Lord in our failure when given such a great blessing and such a great opportunity and so many things to avail ourselves to. Brothers and sisters, we have the full canon of Scripture. We've got the full Word of God, and we and our country have been blessed with ease. We've been blessed with much. We think that if time passes on, like it was with Daddy, that things would just be better later to be reckoned with than sooner. Not with our Lord. He can reckon with His children just like on the day that I disobeyed Him and sinned against Him. Now, I want to throw something in here. Brother John writes to us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to avail ourselves of that too, don't we? I'm persuaded. I know it by my own life since I've been saved, that the children of God are tempted to go around carrying a pile of guilt because we won't confess our sins to the Lord, because we just want to be bent to do our own thing. And so we go and do our own thing. It doesn't yield to us what we really want it to be, but we satisfied our flesh, and then we go around carrying a bunch of guilt rather than facing up to the Lord with it. Because really, unless we're just really have our hearts and minds seared, we want a thing, and when we do it, we know it's wrong. We know that the Lord is against it totally, and then we've done it, and it hadn't yielded us as much fun and as much enjoyment as we thought, and then we know we don't want to face the Lord with it, but then we can even get into a trap of doing it, forgive me, doing it, forgive me, doing it, forgive me. And if your heart's even close to halfway being right, you know that that's a farce too. And it's just, we're just talking about people, aren't we? This old man is dragging us down. And he is us, but the new man is too. The new man is our Lord. Because see, again, the heart of what we're talking about is we're going to have a judgment, children of God. We're going to give accountability for how we've served our Lord from the moment that he saved us. And what are we going to do with this opportunity of life? How will we use it for him? He says, you've crossed Moses' law, you despised it, they despised it, they died on many of what was given there. How much sorer punishment? You mean it's worse than that? Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath, number one, trodden underfoot the Son of God. If we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, we have trodden underfoot the Son of God. I'm going to read it to you again. I tried to quote it here. Let me read at the beginning of this book in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, Old Testament, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. What we have in the New Testament is from our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we find out? What we have in the Old Testament is from our Lord Jesus Christ. His Word. He is the Word. He's spoken unto us. The law that Moses had and was given, and that is mentioned there about despising that, they died. A sorer punishment lies at stake for you and me as the children of God, despising the words of our Lord. Let us, number one, know them. His words. Let us, number two, take them and apply them to our lives. Let us hearken unto what our Lord has given us. Brother Jim, it's hard. Yes, I understand that. I get that. That's the reason we need to go to him. Lord, forgive me. And Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. As the brother preached, draw me. It's apropos for our time in these messages, isn't it? We need to draw near unto our Lord. We need him to draw us unto him. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath, number one, trodden underfoot the Son of God? I mean, trodden underfoot our Lord Jesus Christ. When we willfully sin, that's what we do, is we tromp on him. Number two, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. I tell you what, that wraps it up. It's to the children of God. Because see, those who are not saved, there has been no manifestation that the blood shed on the cross of Calvary has sanctified them. Now, we pray for sinners and we witness to sinners. And when they repent and when they believe the Lord saves them, it's evidence that they've been sanctified by that blood too. But if you and I claim Christ, we've been set aside. We've been sanctified by the blood of our Lord. And what's it say? If we sin willfully, we have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith we were sanctified an unholy thing. And hath, number three, done despite, an insult, that word means, unto the Spirit of grace. It's a question. But those statements are there very plainly. Willful sin. Willful sin. It's just that way. So children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to know our Lord's word and we are called to obey the Lord's word. And all of us have a copy of it. All of us need to be feeding on it. We need to be taking it and hiding it in our hearts so we might not sin against God, as the psalmist said. That's the thing. Brother Jim, I don't understand it. I tell you what, keep on reading and keep on praying. The Lord will help you to understand it. Start with the beginning. Learn about your Lord Jesus. Learn about him in the Gospels. Learn about what it says in the New Testament. Go to those Old Testament accounts and those Old Testament accounts of the patriarchs. Take the 11th chapter of Hebrews and that honor roll of faith, and then go back to the Old Testament and learn about each one of those that are mentioned there. There are 12 dozen ways to study and eat the Word of God, but we need to feed up on it because we need to know it so that we might apply it to our lives. So he says, sore punishment that has trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, the saved, an unholy thing, and done despite and insult unto the Spirit of God. For we know him that hath said, the Lord has said this in Deuteronomy 32, we know him, that's the saved. Are you saved? You know him. We know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Let's take a look over at that. Let's read it. Let's read it for ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 32, two verses right there backed up against one another. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And understand these words preached by Brother Moses unto the children of Israel before they, that second generation, before they go into the promised land, are brought forward to you and I here living in this church age, the children of God in his churches. So, I mean, they apply to us too. The Lord has done that by his inspiration of the apostle to bring it to us. Deuteronomy 32:35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense, the Lord speaking. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. This is speaking directly to Israel. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. The Lord shall judge his people. See, those words there unto Israel, in particular them, have been summarized up in how they apply to us. Vengeance belongeth to the Lord. He will recompense, repay. The sins against him he will repay, saith the Lord, and the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yeah, for the saved. We will indeed reverence him then. May God help us with his word that we will reverence him now. We need to reverence him now. Brother, we've looked at that about what Brother Peter said there in, I believe, the first epistle. He said that we might live the rest of our time, not according to the will of the flesh, but according to the will of God. And it's never the will of God for us to sin against him, is it? Is it ever the will of God for us to sin against him? Never. Never. May the Lord help us that we would not sin against him, that we would avail ourselves to that which he has given unto us. Let's read over in 1 Peter chapter 4, a related verse also. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. The scripture, our brother writes, our Lord gives to him to give unto us. 1 Peter 4, verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely, that word scarcely is talking about with much work and with much difficulty, only God the Son becoming a man, only God the Son submitting himself to whatever is involved with becoming a man for God, even from before the creation of the earth, and coming and being born of a virgin and being born to a poor family and submitting himself to be carried by his mother and being born into her and nursed by her and fed by her and had his diapers changed by her and lived up and raised up as a little boy, submitted himself to learning and the normal course of gaining bodily control and bodily function that we see with our babies and our toddlers and our children do. And the intellect growing. The scripture says he grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew up and he grew in wisdom. He submitted himself to all that so that he might come all the way to the prime of his life, and having laid down having a family and having laid down having a career and became our Savior by yielding himself and taking and putting himself on the cross of Calvary and giving his life and his body and his blood for the likes of you and me. May God help us we not trample that. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, even for the saved. That's how great God is. We've got a judgment, brothers and sisters in Christ. May we be able to give a good answer there. May the Lord help us to understand these things and take his word and apply them to our life. When we fail and we falter, which we do, may we ask forgiveness. I mean, may we ask forgiveness. May the Lord, Brother David prayed, show me my fault. Show me my error. Help me to see if there be any wicked way in me. Verse number 32, there's an admonition with this. I thank the Lord the chapter doesn't start there. We need to know that what the things that have been said. But he says, call to remembrance the former days. Call to remembrance the beginning. He says, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. That's when you were saved. Remember how fresh it was and how new it was and how zealous it was when you're saved. We're admonished of the Lord to remember then. Life does drag us down. Either raising a family or getting older. I mean, life is a challenge, just any facet, any piece of life. But he says, recall the former days when you were first illuminated. Okay, and Lord willing, we'll take a look at those things from here on next time.